calling in.
Blog Talk Radio.
Everything going, Joanne?
It's going. How's everybody out there today? I hope everybody had a great weekend. I think Lori's on the phone. Yeah. I hope everybody had a great weekend.
Lori.
And thank you so much for joining us tonight. We have a unfortunate repeat offender. She didn't have enough the first time, so we. I'm only kidding, Lori. unfortunately, Lori has so much information to talk about that I just had to have her back because it just wasn't enough time to talk to her. But before we get started, let's say thank you to our sponsors. Our new sponsor, the Observer Newspaper, West Sutton Publishing in Kearney, New Jersey. The Hive Barn Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey. Precious Memory Video in Kintnerville, Pennsylvania. KWV Wines in South Africa. Tees for the Times and Other Stuff in Clifton, New Jersey. Syntech Productions in Anoka Harbor, New Jersey. Oleander Public Relations in Texas. Take a Break from Cancer.org and For Pete's Sake. And Joey Max Hot Dog Truck Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey. If you want oral satisfaction, guaranteed. So with us tonight is the fabulous Lori Jacobson. She's an author, a comedian. We didn't even touch on your comedic background that you had last time you were here. And John, I don't think you were here. I think Patty came in that night.
Yeah, I don't think I missed that one. Yeah, I was very disappointed. Yep.
Yeah. Well.
I could tell.
Everybody. Lori Jacobson, she's the author of many books, but the one we're going to specifically talk about tonight is TV Dinners, and it's a soft cover. It's only soft cover, Lori?
Yes.
It's a soft cover book, and it's 40 of our classic television stars. They are posting, well, I don't want to say posting. They say their favorite recipes that they've enjoyed making, and they also throw in a little side dish of growing up and their background and their life in their times in their career.
Right,
and
right. I like to think of it as a combo platter. You know, you get the history of their show. And pictures of them throughout their lifetime and what they loved to eat as a kid. And, you know, sometimes as we grow older, we have health issues. So their diets changed from, burgers and malteds to something a little more healthy. But the lovely, you know, first of all, it's our whole childhood spread out in front of you. You know, it's Wally and the Bees and the kids from Father Knows Best and
right.
I Love Lucy and the Dick Van Dyke Show, the Munsters, My Three
Lassie,
Sons.
Lassie. And we can't forget
it,
that.
It goes off.
You want to have a fight tonight? I mean, come on.
And it goes all the way to the Brady Bunch. So,
it takes us
back to a really sweet time.
Yes.
And a lot, you know, everybody of a certain age, all the boomers, you know, this is a trip in the way back machine, you know, to a kinder, gentler place. And it's a good time to stay at home and try cooking something new.
Yeah,
so,
I was going to ask you, did you try any of the, did you do any of the recipes or no? I'm going to attempt one. I'm not sure which one, though.
Well, you know, it's. I'm gonna be completely honest with you and say no.
Me neither. When you interviewed these folks, did they do the recipe in front of you, or they just submitted their favorite recipe to you?
Oh no, this is their personal recipes, and they, you know, they gave me ingredient by ingredient how some have been passed down through the family. And, you know, and sometimes it was a favorite dish from a favorite restaurant near the studio or when they could drive a drive-in. You know, and so it sort of runs the gamut. You get to see some the history of some of L.A.'s great eateries in the 50s and 60s. And, the kids talk about their careers. You learn a lot about what it was like to be a working kid.
Right.
In the 50s and 60s.
Right. Now, Lori, when you started, were you a comedian or a writer first? Or author, I should say, not writer.
I was a comedian first.
Mm-hmm.
I moved to L.A. To be an actress. Mm. I was pursuing my acting career, and it had taken a real comedy bent. I was in this great comedy workshop that was run by a character actor named Harvey Lembeck. And he was Eric Von Zipper in all the Annette and Frankie movies, and as well as tons of other things. But Harvey had this great class. It was a beautiful, not so well kept secret. And the people that came through that class or stayed the whole 7 years I was there, like Robin Williams never left, John Ritter never left, John LaRoquette was there for a while, Scott Baio. Just all kinds of people passed through there. It was a wonderful, thrilling place to be. God, Peter Noon took class with me, you know, from Herman Sherman. And one day Dave Clark from the Dave Clark Five showed up to watch class when Peter was in it. You know, I thought I was losing my mind, you know. I was like 23, and my, you know, my childhood was playing out in front of me there. So it was a blast. They were fantastic years for me, and I learned a great deal. And that is when I began to experience Hollywood history for myself.
Right, I was going to ask you, so what made you decide to drop out of acting and comedy and go into writing?
Well, you know, I changed course a little. I was fascinated with the people who had come before me and made me want to go there in the first place. And many of the places that they went to or they lived in or even the studios, you know, were still around in the 70s when I first got there. And so you would find, and this is a time, the 70s, it was just the end of a generation that had held their jobs for 40 years. Maitre d's, waitresses at Schwab's, they'd been there, you know, 30 years. They waited on Jean Harlow and Clark Gable, you know? And so there was an abundance of stories to be learned, and these people were not being asked. You know, it was like the history was too recent, and nobody ever asked the waitresses, and believe me, they knew everything. So, you know,
they didn't spill I guess they did, because you revealed the secrets in the Oh, God, which book was it? I'm sorry. I'm trying to remember our last conversation.
Dishing Hollywood?
Yes, Dishing Hollywood. I mean, how risque was the most risque story that is in that book? I mean, a lot of people don't want to reveal these things, especially if it's going to affect their job. But, you know, we've got a lot of these celebrities now are no longer with us. So, I mean, it's okay to talk about them, I guess, to some degree.
Well, I don't really dive into their personal lives in terms of what was risque, unless it brought them down. Mary Astor, you know, had a very infamous affair with one of the great playwrights, George S. Kaufman. Trouble is she kept a diary and her husband found it and had pages of it published in the New York Times.
And
you know, with his, it was like expletive deleted time, you know, his expletive deleted plunged into me over and over again as the sun set, you know, she was very dramatic.
Oh my God. Right. So, oh my God.
But, you know, it toughened her up. You know, she was able to withstand the storm.
Well,
you know, it would have ruined.
Yeah, it might
have ruined somebody else. And times were tougher. You know, we've been through the Depression and people had toughened up. And so what if you got a little on the side? That was no big deal. People were jumping out of windows, you know.
Right, exactly.
Times had changed and we were willing, we were less naive.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, when I mentioned earlier about Lassie, I don't know if anyone knows, Lori's married to John Provost, who played Timmy on Lassie. So that story must have been kind of easy to tell. I mean, you guys are together 24/7, so.
Yeah. Lassie, help. Okay, here's my favorite Lassie story. You know, we all know through the magic of Hollywood that Lassie was a female dog in the story, but a male dog in reality. And Lassie was always groomed just precisely to hide that fact from the public. So one day Lassie gets like a little rash and starts losing his hair. So they had to go to Max Factor, and he made a merkin for Lassie.
Oh, wow.
So the only dog in the history of Hollywood I know who had a merkin made for him by none other than the great Max Factor. So...
Wow. I was just actually, probably a mutual friend of ours posted the Max Factor building is now the Hollywood Museum. I had no idea. I mean, that building looks beautiful.
Yeah, it's been beautifully maintained. Yeah, it became the museum quite some time ago, and I don't know how they're hanging on with COVID and all, but it's a fabulous place to go. It's
I thought that would be a great story, writing about, oh my God, the umpteen people who were in and out of Max Factor and then turning it into a museum. I mean, I thought that would be a great book myself. But
oh, and you got to go on the opening of one of their shows. That, you know, was they have an enormous elevator. They can move cars, like they can move
Gene Milo's
car up to the third floor for a display.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's opening night of one of their new exhibits, the elevator turns into a bar.
Oh, wow.
You just travel between the floors getting drinks and then rolling out into some fabulous Hollywood history. It's a really fun place to go. And you're right. Everyone in Hollywood went to Max Factor.
Yeah, I have to definitely check that out if I ever get over to the left coast. I'm hoping I do. God, I've got to go so many trips. I've got to go to Graceland, the Left Coast, to go meet all my people we've been talking to. It's like, oh my God, I can't afford to go all these places. But tell us a little about John. You'd be interested in this, the Hollywood Haunted book. What is that based off of? I mean, obviously people have passed, but what is the vein that you really focused on when writing it? Was it about how they died, their lifetimes, or a little bit of everything?
And I missed what you said. Was it Hollywood Haunted you asked about?
Yes.
I wrote my first book about tragic and mysterious endings to people who had helped build Hollywood, the city, and the industry. It's called Hollywood Heartbreak. And a lot of ghost stories arose around these untimely deaths.
Oh, wow.
And I just kind of wrote them down and put them away. And then I experienced a ghost in Grauman's Chinese Theater.
Oh, who was it?
Oh, you have to tell us about this one.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was a ghost named Fritz who used to work in the theater. We were going to give a walking tour of Hollywood's grand movie palaces. We were there early one morning. We were figuring out where our guides would stand. The lady leading us through told us that the stage at one time held up to 200 actors who would, that was the, like, they didn't have previews. You know, they had people performing and dancing and entertaining until it was time for the movie to begin. And did anybody want to go up there and see the stage? And of the five people, I was the only one who went, when am I going to get to be on stage at Grauman's Chinese again?
Yeah.
Right? So I climbed this ladder attached to the stage. I'm on the stage, standing next to these beautiful velvet curtains. I look around, see nothing, you know, of real interest, lots of storage behind the screen. I climb down, I join my friends, and as soon as I get there, the guide says, "This place is so haunted." And with that, it was like a movie. With that, all five of us historians turned back to look at the stage. And where I had been standing, someone unseen, but we could see hands grasping the velvet curtain. We could see the impressions, the fingers, and it picked up that corner of the curtain and shook it very angrily at us. And I set a new land speed record that day, heading for the lobby.
I bet. Yeah, I would have taken off, too. So Hollywood Heartbreak was the original book, and then after the experience writing that, you did a spinoff with the Hollywood Haunted based on what you learned on? Okay, got it.
Yes. Well, that was the catalyst, and then, you know, they always talk about George Reeves' Superman. They always talk about a ghost being present. There were some ghosts that people have spoken about for years, so I was really anxious to go to those places and see what we could see. I took parapsychologists and psychics with me, and it was an absolutely fascinating experience.
Wow. And out of all these major classic celebrities, Fritz shows up.
Well, they told me that Fritz was a very unhappy employee, and he took his life in the theater behind the movie screen.
Wow.
And I had gone there, you know, this little traveled area and some strange, you know, you pick these places for some kind of special reason.
Right.
You know, and I had trespassed on his sacred space, and he
he
didn't like it.
No.
It's all very logical. I learned it's all very logical. You know, they were human. They are still responding with very human emotions.
Right, right. Well, they haven't crossed over, and you know, it's it must be a horror. I mean, I don't know. Who can answer for that? I don't know. John, what do you think about that? You know more about that than I do.
Well, I don't know if I want to go on to the next realm if I'm going to hang around some old movie theater or restaurant. You know what I mean? They always say, well, you die, you go to heaven. But with my luck, I'll wind up living in my basement for the rest of eternity, you know?
Well, it's all about letting go. You know, it's all about letting go.
Has any of your subjects ever come to you in your dreams while you were writing the stories? No.
No. I think the only person who ever did was Lenny Bruce. I was a really great friend of Lenny Bruce's mother, and when you hung with her, you hung with all of Lenny's old crew.
Yeah.
And they talked about him, you know, like he was just out of the room for a minute. He was so real, really. When the door opened, you just expected him to walk in. I mean, these people just adored him. And so I dreamt about him once because I just felt so completely immersed in his life.
No, it was so strong. He was powerful whenever he went into a room and felt his presence.
Did you ever watch The Amazing Mrs. Maisel? Are you a fan?
I have not. It looks great. I have not. I'm not a Netflix person. Everybody thinks I'm retarded. Oh, pardon me. Everybody thinks I'm crazy that I don't watch Netflix. I've got to be the only person in the country who doesn't watch Netflix.
Well, I'm not a huge, I'm not a huge series watcher, but the guy who plays Lenny Bruce in that is just so right on. It is very cool. His mother used to tell me, my son was sexy. My son was so sexy. And I thought, gee, I just don't get that. But this guy, he got it. He nailed it.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Now, Timmy's in the Well, obviously, is that like a autobiography of John, or
yes.
Just okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we worked 7 years on it. We tracked down, just dozens of people that he worked with. We had some great reunions. And we talked to dozens of other kid stars. So when he talks about his schooling when they were shooting the show, they all talk about their experience. So, it's for more than Lassie fans. If you want to know about what it was like to work during that period and be a kid and make it through, because a lot of them didn't. So and the effect on his family, I found all of it really fascinating as I learned it, it set a weird dynamic in the family. So
and Dishing Hollywood, was that basically all celebrities who have passed, or was any of them still with us when you wrote that?
No, I believe a few are still with us, and I think there are. I have to look. I'm really into the mysteries and scandals aspect of Hollywood history.
Right.
I had several mysteries that I had new information on. But I had already written about them, so I was looking for a way to tell their story again in a different way. So I was out having drinks with a friend one night, and he suggested the format for this book, which it which is that the recipe most that you hear the scandal, and you get all the details about the mystery solved, and the recipe is 9 times out of 10 attached to the story in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's just a couple places it's just a favorite recipe.
Mm. Can you give us one of your stories in Fishing Hollywood and then a scandal?
Sure, you have anybody in mind?
Well, I mean, wait, what's all that noise? Hold on, guys, I can't hear. Who's making all that rubbing noise? I don't know who's in the book. I'm sorry, I didn't read it. I don't know what celebrities you have in that are the subjects.
Okay, well, let's see. Yeah, there are so many people that I, you know, should I pick Lana Turner? Should I pick Sharon Tate? Throw something out at me. Inger Stevens. Dorothy Kilgallen.
Give me one more. How about Rock Hudson? You got Rock Hudson in there?
Do I have Rock in here? I don't think so. No, I don't. But, you know, but I can still tell a Rock story. You know, what had a wonderful career, you know, got discovered on the cover of, you know, a men's, Muscle Men's magazine.
Uh-huh.
And had a beautiful face. Could not act his way out of a paper bag. I think.
Are you kidding me?
I think his first film in which he had one line, they had to do 137 takes, and I might be lowballing it. So nervous and so green, and you know, to his credit, he was charming, and people liked him, and especially ladies liked him. The women he worked with over and over again were his friends for life, like Doris Day.
Right.
So, you know, he was a very lovable guy, and he lived a double life in Hollywood,
right,
which was not easy.
Right.
And he was
Everybody in Hollywood knew.
Everybody in Hollywood knew that
Rock
was gay. Yes, and they really had to rein him in because he was really out there with boy parties or cruising the farmer's market after midnight. You know, that was a big pickup. He started to get known in the business. You know, they had to rein him in. You can't be in these places. So, you know, it was difficult for him. And in the end, he contracted AIDS.
Yeah.
And after living his entire life in the closet, he was unable to admit that that's what he was dying from.
Right.
Where it would have helped for somebody to say it out loud, somebody of his stature.
Right.
That was the sad part. That was the same for Liberace. Liberace died around that time as well.
Well, that's why I was so shocked when you said he was a horrible actor in the beginning, because, man, I didn't know he was gay. I'm like, oh, my God, what a great actor to pull that off. I mean, geez, you know. The people on the outside, like me, we had no idea, you know.
Oh, and he became a wonderful actor, I think. And
so
delightful in those light comedies with Doris Day. I love him in Giant, you know, with Elizabeth Taylor, who was another lifelong friend of his.
Mm.
And from all accounts I hear, he was a wonderful guy. He just couldn't step up to the plate when we needed him, but I understand.
Hmm. Now, on any of these, I forgot the name, what you said, the one telling about people's untimely demises. What was the name of that one? I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Hollywood Heartbreak or Dishing Hollywood?
No, Hollywood Heartbreak. Now, on Hollywood Heartbreak, are there any stories in there that you thought after reading, after investigating over and over and over again, that maybe they weren't accidental deaths and maybe there was something more to it?
I'm looking at the, you know, I think I had the wrong person, the wrong killer, in the story of a gentleman named William Desmond Taylor, who he was extremely prominent director at Paramount, who was found shot to death in his bungalow, wonderful courtyard bungalow apartment. And it was just, you know, it ruined a couple of actresses. Their lingerie and love letters were found there. And, you know, turns out he was gay. He had abandoned a wife and child in New York and was using a different name. You know, it's one of my favorite stories. Yeah,
wow.
It's really, it was like the more they dug, the more they couldn't believe it. And by the time the cops are even called to his house, there are already people from Paramount there burning papers in the fireplace.
Wow.
I mean, it's actually, you know, hilarious. But that's what went on. That's what went on back then. The cops were the last people you wanted to call. You called the studio first. You know, and the illegal liquor from the basement is taken away, and you know, the lifestyle. If there's anything questionable about the lifestyle, it's removed.
Wow. How about Bob Crane? Is he in that book, The Hollywood Heartbreak?
No, I don't know. I just was really unattracted to that story. It's kind of, you know.
Yeah. Now the Lana Turner in Hollywood, that she's in Dishing Hollywood.
That's one of my favorite stories.
Yeah, tell me that one. Do you mind?
Not at all. Lana,
cool.
You know, Lana. There's another one. Beautiful woman, you know, could barely act her way out of a paper bag. But learned what was called for and pulled it off, you know. And she was extremely popular. She was a terrible shopper when it came to men. And she was seeing this low-level gangster named Johnny Stampinato. He was kind of a bag man for Harry Cohn, who ran the Sunset Strip. And he kind of made a side living shacking up with older wealthy women and then bleeding them dry or using them for his purposes, you know. He was getting physical with her. She was showing up with, quote, love bruises at the studio on her arms, and he, you know, he was just really uncouth. And she was nominated for an Oscar. He wanted to go to the Oscars. She told him, I don't want to take you there. And a fight ensued. Her daughter, Cheryl Crane, was home from boarding school for one night. She, hears the arguing coming from her mother's bedroom, and as the story is told, she ran to the kitchen, grabbed a knife. She's 15, by the way. She runs upstairs, bursts suddenly into her mother's bedroom, surprising Stampinato, who turns to face her and impales himself on the knife.
Oh, isn't that ironic.
He impaled himself.
Yes.
And I have even heard that You know, the minute the knife went in, the studio gets cold. And I
right.
have even heard that he lived on the floor for some time while they decided how they were going to cover up his death.
Wow.
So that had to be just a really gruesome scene. So
right,
there was this
right.
one great lawyer in Hollywood, Jerry Giesler. Whenever anybody was in trouble, they got Giesler, you know, and he, you know, and Lana's testimony on the stand was the best performance she ever gave. As I touched my lips to his, you know, fighting back tears. And, you know, she was kind of, the public kind of decided she was the worst mother in Hollywood. But damn it, we love her.
Right,
you go, girl.
Right.
And her
right.
movies didn't suffer. And I think because it was a gangster, had it been a decent, upstanding man, it might have been a little different. But because it was a gangster, I think people could shrug and go, "Oh well, one less gangster."
Right, right, right. And what year was it she died? I forgot what year. 60 something, was it?
That this happened, or
no? When Lana Turner died,
she lived. I'm gonna have to look it up, but she lived for to a good. She died of cancer, but she lived to a pretty good age.
Well, wait a minute. Now I've always heard that Lana Turner was decapitated in her convertible. She
no,
crashed
that's
into
Jane.
A truck.
That's
Jane Mansfield,
wasn't it? Okay.
Yeah.
That's why I said I'm confused here. You tell me she died of cancer. I'm like, wait a minute. That's not what I heard. I'm confusing her with Jane. Okay. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Lana is rolling over in her grave that you're confusing her with Jane Mansfield.
I know, right? I know. I apologize, Lana. I apologize. So now,
hey, Lori, I got a question for Lori.
Lori,
the Jane. Since we brought up the Jane Mansfield death, wasn't there a rumor going around that she was involved with some kind of satanic cult in Hollywood at the time? Do you know anything about that?
Yes. Oh, yes. What is that man's name? Do you know it?
No, I don't. I just remember that because they said that her death was, you know, it was unusual and strange. And I know who the guy you're talking about. He had the Church of Satan, the Satanic Church in Hollywood at the time.
Yes.
And he had a lot of followers.
Kenneth Anger was a friend of his. You know, Kenneth Anger, who wrote Hollywood Babylon, and who has the Lucifer tattooed across his chest.
I love
that. Yeah, let me ask you another question relating to that. Has it changed much since then? Is Hollywood still
cover up?
Do they still have a lot of? Yeah, Anton LaVey. That's correct. Yes. Yes. Now, is the people in Hollywood still involved with these satanic, I wouldn't say clubs, but satanic churches and rituals and everything? Because you hear a lot about that now on the internet.
Oh, God. You're talking about those stupid cults. Yeah.
No, to my knowledge, absolutely not. I mean, you know, some people tried to, there were a lot of women working in, I'm getting interested in and joining cabals, which is a Jewish thing.
That's more mysticism, right, than devil
yes,
worshiping, right?
Yes. Yeah, there. You know, if anybody's out there devil worshiping, they sure aren't drawing attention to it.
No,
that I have heard. So, no, there were some. You know, there were some. You know, believe me, in the 30s, wow, the 20s and 30s were wide open, and anything could happen. But And did. That's what was so, I mean,
right.
Cocaine was legal. You know,
right.
People were being paid a fortune in untaxed money. You know, people who had been nobody yesterday were, you know, suddenly had $1 million contracts. I mean, it was really a crazy, wild time.
Right.
And everything was new, you know, car, and everything was rented, you know, because nobody dreamed it would last forever, and for most people it didn't. You know, so you rented a big house and you rented a big car, and when your 15 minutes was up, you turned it in and you went back to Ohio.
Yeah. Let me ask you.
Really,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just an amazing place, you know. The resilience
yeah.
it really takes to stay in Hollywood is
yeah.
something.
Well, I'm going to make John laugh right now. What do you know, or have you ever even cared to dabble in the story of Clara Bow?
Oh, my all-time favorite.
John, I didn't hear no chuckles out of you.
I know. Clara Bow, the Coney Island girl.
I wrote a song about Clara Bow many, many years ago. And
I love her.
Yeah, well, you know what? Before I wrote it, I did read up a lot about her, and she really touched me, and what a story. I mean, horrible, horrible. Her and Fanny Farmer just always fascinated me. They're poor stories, you know? I mean, Clara Bow is the biggest thing going. Talkies come in, it wipes her out because she can't, she's got a horrible accent, you know? It's like, oh, it was so horrible.
Well, you know, truly, there was a lot more to it than that. Her accent wasn't so bad because she did make a couple of talkies.
Yeah.
But it was a huge scandal that brought her down. Her closest confidant, a woman who worked for her, betrayed her in just the worst way, and it was utterly devastating for her, and she had a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
And she was like 27, you know, and
yeah,
she just,
young, yeah.
You know, and the depression was upon us, and people were not amused that these two girls who were living the high life, you know, couldn't work things out. The maid was stealing from her. You know, Clara.
I forgot her name. What was the maid's name?
Her name was Daisy DeVoe.
That's it. Yep.
Yeah, and you know, and Clara had been sexually abused by her father as a child, and horribly emotionally abused by her mother, who was a religious fanatic who used to hold a knife to her throat as a child. I mean, she freaking went through the worst things, and that she had found some happiness in this lovely friendship, she thought, you know.
Right.
She had men coming out of her ears, and then, you know, her closest friend betrays her and pretty much ruined her, just ruined her.
Yeah.
She was never the same after that.
Yeah. You know what? I have to, John, I'm going to send her Clara Bow. I'm going to email you Clara Bow.
That's a beautiful song.
You're going to like
it.
Oh,
great.
Oh, no, it's a tribute.
You just
it's a
loved
tribute.
Her.
It's a tribute to her. Yes, it's a tribute. I liked it so much. I think I did it three different versions. I did three different musical styles to it. It's been done.
Oh, wonderful.
No definite, three possible. We're talking 30 years ago. I don't remember, honestly. But and that's when I read the book as well. That's why the names are not coming to me. And I know she was buddy-buddy with John Wayne at the time, too.
Yes.
They were buddy-buddy, right? Yeah.
She was buddy-buddy with the USC football team. But he was the next year. He missed her. He did. He could never put her notch on his belt. Yeah, he's a little too young for her, I think.
No, poor Marion, right? No,
Marion Morrison. Yes.
So I got to ask you now, back to TV dinners. I mean, being married to John, did that help a lot in getting the folks to come and do the book, or you had no trouble getting everybody to sign on?
Well, certainly, you know, I met most of these folks through my years with John, but
yeah.
The guy that we consider the king of the TV kid stars is Paul Peterson, who was
yes.
on the Donna Reed show.
Yeah.
And
he got the children's protection as well, right, for the kids?
Yes,
actually.
He was the first one to stand up and realize some of my friends aren't making it. You know, there were suicides. There were adventures with alcohol and pills and a lot of bad press for child stars, and there was no, you know, they were the first generation that this
and they weren't
to.
Treated very well on the set.
Yes.
I mean, they were treated horribly.
You know, my husband is very lucky. They adored him, and they invited him to their kids' birthday parties and bar mitzvahs because they could see what he was missing. But some kids, you know, basically got, you're not cute anymore, goodbye.
Nice.
You know,
right.
And their parents spent all their money. You know, I mean, some of them have horror stories. So, so Paul started this wonderful organization called A Minor Consideration and has created laws to protect working kids. And a portion of my profits goes to that. So when people heard that, everybody was all in.
Good, good. Good.
We all want to help Paul and his organization continue. So,
was there anyone that you really wanted to put in the book and they couldn't make it or had other obligations or just basically who was specific did you want?
I specifically wanted one of the really great kid stars of the 60s, Ronnie Howard.
Oh yeah, that would have been great.
And you know, we are occasionally in touch with him. He is Mr. Down to Earth and never forgets any sections of his life. You know, John knew his parents. Their parents knew each other. You know, it was a small world. It was a small world back then. So. I did write him, and I did hear from him that he was too busy to send me a recipe. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. Who's your number two? Did you have a number two that couldn't do it?
No, that was really it.
That's about it.
That was the one I wish I could have. I have a really cute picture of him at a birthday party of John's in the book. And that's another aspect that I really love is that these guys grew up together and 60 years later, they're all still friends.
It's amazing.
You know, they would be there for one another in a heartbeat.
Right. Right. Did you ever write anything about Dana Plato and, you know, her... tale of woe, her suffering that she went through, or no, you have never touched on that too not early enough for you, or
I guess I could have
You need to do a part two now. You need to do a part two and add we've unfortunately and sadly lost a lot of amazing celebrities that have touched us in our lives growing up. And I mean, when we were growing up, I mean, these were our best friends, you know? So to me, they were anyway. And it's like, when I get to speak to them on the show, it's just beyond unbelievable to me that I'm actually speaking to these people that I grew up watching and admired and said to myself, oh, I'd love to be in that family or, you know. Yeah, I think we all feel like that to some degree, you know.
Yeah. You know, you saw them every week while you were in your pajamas. You know, you couldn't feel more at home with these kids.
Right. We were at home together, right, at the same time. Yeah. But, you should do another one called Just Desserts and get Ronnie Howard in that one.
Oh, very
showing the kid stars that really blew up and got their just desserts, you know, and do the desserts. All right,
there
I'll take 10%. I'll take 10%. Okay, that's all I want. And you'll never hear from me again.
I'm playing with you.
Oh God, are you working on anything now, or no? We're just promoting TV dinners right now and dealing with life with this pandemic. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the fires. Are you okay right now?
We're okay right now. I'm in Northern California. If we have to run, this will be the third year in a row. You know, for the previous 18 years that I've lived here, we've had nothing like this, you know, but the last 3 years have just been awful. So tonight on the menu is thunderstorms and dry lightning strikes.
Not good.
Which is what started all this in the first place. And, you know, we never had those. That's like a Midwest thing.
Right.
You know, we don't have thunderstorms and lightning, and so suddenly we are. So I just want to say there is such a thing as global warming.
Yes, there is. And not only that, you should be sweeping your forest up. So, but we'll leave that there.
Yeah.
And, Do you plan on working on anything soon? And what type of book? In the same type of vein or no?
I'm working on a couple things. I'm working on, I'm just about to finish this book I've been working on for years about the Beatles playing Shea Stadium in 1965. It's a little off the course for me, but
it did. First-hand experience or no?
No. I don't wish, but I found, you know, dozens and dozens of people who were there for all different reasons. They were opening act. They were working on the ground. They were, you know, producers of the Ed Sullivan Show. They were, you know, it was just all kinds of people that I found. Go-go dancers, people who scored a ticket some way, you know, and so many people that were there that, you know, went on to be famous. Whoopi Goldberg, Meryl Streep, Steve Van Zandt, you know, all kinds of interesting people were there.
Right,
so I've been having a ball with that. And hopefully I'll finish that soon. And I'm working on a fabulous Cars of the Stars book with just women.
Oh, nice.
All those glamorous curves, baby.
Nice.
I mean the cars.
Oh, God. Anybody from, it doesn't matter the genre or era, it's just any woman who owns a nice car.
It goes from the 20s to through the 60s.
I
sort of stop in the Marilyn and Bridget Bardot arena, but start out with Mary Pickford and Joan Crawford, and you know, go on through Harlow and Hayworth, and it's a ton of fun, and I love old cars. And the Peterson Museum, Automotive Museum in Los Angeles is working with me, and all in all, it's going to be a beautiful coffee tip book.
Oh, I'm sure. One more question for you from me, and I just wanted to ask you, how long did it take you to write TV dinners, and how long do you anticipate these books taking that you're working on? Because you said the one with John took 7 years.
Why
would that take 7 years? I don't get it.
Well, why, you know, life
that should have
intervened.
Been the fastest and smartest one. I mean, good. I'm sorry. So how long did TV dinners take?
Oh, TV dinners probably took a year from when I thought it up, and then contacting everyone and
getting all the info.
getting all the info right.
It is a great book. I want to make a meal out of here. I don't know who to pick. Folks, in this book, you got Christy McNichol, Butch Patrick, Little Ricky, I forgot his real name, The Beaver, Patty Duke, Billy Mooney. And Allison Arkham's in here. That's right. We had her on the show. Lo, I love Allison. What a sweetheart. What a sweetheart.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Her story's great.
Yeah. And what a shame what she went through. Oh, my God. Growing up, having to play that role and people hating her as a kid to feel that way. Oh, my God. She's an amazing person. Absolutely amazing. So, Lori, where can everybody get your book? TV Dinners, guys, by Lori Jacobson.
TV Dinners is available wherever books are sold, TVDinnersBook.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target. It's out there.
It's
everywhere.
And what about Fishing Hollywood, Hollywood Heartbreak, and Haunted Hollywood? Hollywood Haunted, pardon me. And Timmy in the Well, same places?
Same places, yes.
Great. Great. Well,
absolutely.
I wanted to thank you so much for coming back because I just felt we just didn't give you enough time. I just wanted to talk to you. I loved you. So I wanted to just speak to you. So we could go all night, to be honest. Yeah, we could go on all night, but I mean, I only have a certain amount of time here. I could ask you 50 million more questions, but.
I appreciate that. I love dishing about old Hollywood.
Oh, well, Lori, I thank you so much. It's a pleasure. You did get my email of the other day yet, or no?
Yes, I did.
Excellent.
I did.
Excellent.
I'm glad you're feeling better.
I'm getting there. Trying, yeah. And I'm going to email you the song, Clara Bow. I'm dying to know what you think.
Thank you. I get a gift.
You
got to
let
me
know.
My lovely parting gift.
I've got a lovely parting gift. I've got your book here. I want to give it away, but I don't have the heart to give it away. I just love it, so I don't want to give it away. It's a great book. It's a great book. So, folks, go out and get yourself a copy. TV Dinners, you'll love it. Your favorite TV stars talking about their memories of growing up and their favorite recipes, and they're real recipes. You can actually make them. So, and Lori is a phenomenal author of Hollywood, everything Hollywood. Check out her other books on Amazon. Just look her up, Lori Jacobson. You'll see all her books there. And Lori, again, thank you. It was an absolute pleasure. I appreciate you coming
back.
Thanks,
Joanne.
Please stay safe.
Thank you, Lori.
Yes, you too.
Thanks,
John. Please stay safe, okay?
I will. Thanks.
All right,
you guys.
Honey. Take care
of yourself.
Bye bye.
Thanks for your time. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Thank you. Bye bye. Oh, don't you just love her ex-wife? And I got to have her back. I got to, because I mean, John,
amazing.
I could talk to her for hours. I mean, I don't have the other books in front of me, so I don't know who the celebrities are in there, but I guarantee they're like really cool celebrities that you would want to know about. So that's why I was like, who's in it? Who's in it?
I'm ordering that Haunted Hollywood book.
Oh, great. Excellent. I'll let her know that.
I want to read that.
Hollywood Babylon. Do you ever read that?
No.
A mutual friend of ours turned me on to it, and I read it. Well, that's when I was taking the train to work, and I needed reading material. So I read that. I read the Clara Bow. I read that because, you know, I had to do some research to write the song. So, but, you know, I'm dying to know what she thinks of Clara Bow. Time to go.
Well, I think the music is really nice. It's just amazing, like piano parts and everything, strings in there. Just it's perfect.
Yeah. Well, the first one I found a little more haunting than the second one. You heard
You have to
version,
send that one
right?
to him. No, I didn't. I only heard the one that's on your album.
No, they're both on two different albums. They're both on
really?
Two different albums. Yeah, well, the person we know liked it so much that when I did the one at the my first debut produced CD that I did on my own, I said, let me make him happy, and I'll put his Clara Bow on there, and we redid the music. So, you know, but I mean, same lyrics, a little bit of a different melody, not much, but the music is different. It's still piano as well, but also, I don't know which one you have.
Yeah, I don't. I just have the original one that's on your the album that you gave me, and it was in that movie. That's the only one that I have. I have the one that the video, the YouTube video is on. I don't have the other one, unless I heard it and I didn't really, you know, notice too much of a change, but I could tell the difference in the music.
I got to be honest with you. I don't know which one you saw because I don't remember. I just know there was two or three versions of it. I know I definitely did two. I don't know about the third. I'm iffy on that. But anyway, oh, my God. Yeah, she's right in the middle of those fires in California.
Yeah, so it's awful.
I didn't know if we were going to have to cancel tonight, but, you know, the show must go on, as we say. So, but thank you so much again, Lori Jacobson. Oh, my God, I could talk to her for days. I could have seen me sitting having dinner with her and just sitting there, like, fascinated by everything she's got to say. I'm sorry. I grew up on TV, so I'm totally into this shit. Sorry, guys. So anyway, we've got a great show on Wednesday, guys. We had a very unexpected guest join us for Wednesday, and I'm very, very excited. We have earlier in the day, we're going to do a early broadcast with Mr. Don McLean. I cannot believe it. Wrote the biggest number one song in the world, and we got it. So I am so happy to have him. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, which I find it hard to believe, he sang The Day the Music Died. So if you don't know that one, maybe Vincent, I don't know. But The Day the Music Died is one that I don't know any full-blooded red American doesn't know that one, you know.
Well, American Pie is like, you know, Americana, that you have to know. And I think everybody in America knows the entire words of the song. I do at least.
It's funny because everybody calls it either The Day the Music Died or American Pie. You know, so because American Pie is more prevalent in the song, obviously. And then in the evening, joining us is Carolyn Hennessy. She has been on General Hospital, and she is going to talk to us about filming her 500th episode on General Hospital. And not only that, she and her crew over at General Hospital are going to be doing the first filming since COVID-19 started. So I think it's the first actual everybody back in the studio thing. And doing it all together. So I don't know if it was filmed already or if they're about to. We'll find out Wednesday. And then
I wonder if they're going to be wearing masks.
God, well, it is a hospital. Where's my drummers? There, damn it. I forget. You know what? I got to get the drum machine out so I can do it. That I can do instead of bringing out a drum set. I just put the little drum machine right here. Duh. And we got a little sound effect. I want to tell everybody who's on for the 30th, if you could just, I can't move, folks. Bear with me. Where's the calendar? I'm sorry. Oh, here. It's not the calendar. It's on a piece of paper. But, oh, Jesus, hold on. I'm sorry. I don't have it with me, but we definitely have one of the Brigatti boys from the Rascals and oh, God, Gail, don't hate me. We have, Jesus, I'm sorry, guys, I don't have the paper here. Don't hate me. And I can't move to get over there. We're going to discuss the craft of songwriting, how to write a song and a hit song. And, hey, I'll take some tips, that's for sure. And his name is escaping me, and I know it, but it's on a piece of paper, and I don't want to give the wrong information. So I apologize. But thank you, everybody. It'll be up on the website. I'll post it up on our social, and you'll see who it is. And, John, anything you want to add, honey, before we split?
Well, I think it's time to go, Clara Bow.
Oh, and thank you to the Observer for the wonderful article about the show. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. We do. And again, real quick, let's say thank you to our sponsors. Oh, shoot. The High Bar Bistro, Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kittnersville, Pennsylvania, KW Wines in South Africa, Tees for the Times and Other Stuff, Clifton, New Jersey, Syntech Productions, Lenoka Harbor, New Jersey, Oleander Public Relations in Texas, Take a Break from Cancer.org for Pete's Sake, The Observer, West Sutton Publishing Newspaper in Kearney, New Jersey, Joey Max Hot Dog Truck and Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey. Go to their websites. Go to our website and look at their website from there. The link is there. The restaurants, the High Bar and Bistro, pick up and delivery, and there is seating, and all, you know, limited due to social distancing. But Joey Max as well, pick up or delivery, and they also have limited seating due to the corona. So, but thank you all so very much. I had a lot of fun tonight. It was nice to have fun. So I appreciate it. Thank you for listening, everybody. Johnny, I love you. I love you. I love you. Thank you so much. Lori Jacobson, thank you for joining us. Everybody, take care. Have a good night. We'll see you Wednesday. Please join us for our special airing at 1:30 with Don McLean. Take care, all.
Hey, good night, everybody.
Good night, Johnny. Bye.
Good night.
Bye.